Welcome to Read to Me Bedtime Stories, and I'm your host this evening, Lorraine. Tonight's story is called Sunny's Blue Button Blender. One day, Sunny was in her granddad's garage looking for something for show and tell at her food science class. She spotted a purple blender with five buttons. The fifth button was blue, with a piece of tape that read, "Do not touch." Sunny's granddad is a famous inventor who is known for making products that can do amazing things. But Sunny just needed a blender to help mix peanut-based products and thought no one would notice that it was gone, and she would replace it before he knew it was missing. So there she was, sitting another day in food science class, thinking how much she loved the class, but somehow it didn't seem exciting anymore. The teacher, Miss Rinosack, tried to make it as interesting as possible, but she stayed on topics too long. For example, "We have been in food groups for 2 weeks now. I think I know everything you can make from a peanut," sighed Sunny on the inside. And then there was the tough challenge of learning with her classmates, an ongoing group of funny, smart, mischievous kids. I'll just give you a few examples. Let me start with the far side of the room with the Winsor twins, Vivica and Veronica. They were more like a comedy team, always up to something. They could recite the alphabet backwards faster than most people could forward. "Go ahead, try it. Z, Y, X, V, U, T. Pretty hard, huh?" Well, the Winsor twins could do it in 20 seconds. That's how they made their lunch money, betting the boys they could beat them saying it backwards. They never lost. The girls in the class were smart enough not to bet them. Although they were twins, they never would dress alike, but would dress in what they call complementary colors. If one wore white, the other one wore black. One wore stars, the other wore stripes. I remember the day one wore a smiling face dress and the other wore a sad face. Then one day, one had a Christmas tree sweater and the other wore a Grinch sweater. They loved shocking people. Across from the Winsor twins was Mike Dubb. We had two Michaels in the class. Michael, the rock star, played his air guitar all day, every day. His dream was to create his own funk and country western band. I know, right? Two seats up from Mike Dubb was Cynthia. She sat there all day twirling her purple barrette her grandmother brought her back from Paris. Ever since she got the barrette, she talks with a French accent and tells us to call her Cynthia. Tommy, the class comedian, would always say, "Why do you talk like that? We all know you're from Cleveland. Really, Cynthia? Like, really?" Then there was Bobby G, the sports car racer. He always had these miniature Formula One race cars in his pocket and drove them across his desk. He could do this because he sat behind the biggest kid in the class, Mike W., who had huge shoulders, and he was going to be an Olympic boxer. And Bobby had cut a deal with him. If he didn't tell, he would give him his chocolate pudding cups from lunch if Mike would let him run his car across the desk and over the back of his shoulder so he could practice maneuvering moves for the French Alps F1 race he would be in one day. In front of Mike D sat Zenobia, who was as regal as her name sounds. She was the smartest girl in the class, and maybe the school. We all admired her because she never judged people who had trouble with certain topics. Last is my best friend, Hayes. She was named after her granddad, and I was named after my dad. We both heard Broadway and Hollywood calling our names. Yes, aspiring actresses, but not today. As Hayes just stared at me as if to say, "How did we end up in this circus?" But not to worry, the Winsor twins were about to change all that. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Karen, the class tattletale. She has been watching the Winsor twins all afternoon, thinking they were up to something. Which they were, and it's her job to crack the case. Well, Karen noticed at the bathroom break that Veronica had snuck a Dixie cup in the classroom. Well, the scheme was about to unfold. Vivica looks at Veronica and says, "If that lady," referring to Mrs. Rinosack, "says peanut one more time, I am going to faint." Well, guess what? Miss Rinosack says, "Class, today we are going to look at the fruits vegetables and tea, and before she could say nut, there is this thump on the desk from the back of the room. Vivica does her fake faint act. Karen screams, "Vivica just fainted, Miss Riddlesack." "Vivica fainted?" As Miss Riddlesack races to the back of the classroom to Vivica, Veronica whips out the Dixie cup that she had filled with water and splashed it in her sister's face. All of a sudden, Vivica raises her head and says, "I'm fine." Veronica says, "It's a miracle. I saved her life." Mike D belts out the last line of the Star Spangled Banner in air guitar voice, humming the last line like a guitar. Now Miss Riddlesack is beside herself, realizing nothing was wrong with Vivica and the class was getting out of hand. As she is standing over the Winslow twins' desk, suddenly there is a hissing sound getting louder and louder coming from the floor and headed for Miss Riddlesack. She looks down and sees this miniature Formula One race car whizzing between her feet. Well, apparently, Bobby had lost control of the car coming out of the Swiss Alps, and it went careening to the floor and went right down the aisle. Just as Miss Riddlesack was deciding what to do with the Winslow twins and Bobby, Sunny raised her hand and said, "Miss Riddlesack, I think we are bored. I have an idea. What if we have the class try some of the food we've been talking about? Hayes and I can create some and have the class try them." Hayes looks at Sunny as if to say, "What are you doing? I'm going to get you. We can make some spreads, sandwiches, and looper shakes." Miss Riddlesack says, "That's a great idea, Sunny. Create some special snacks for the class, and I will select the ones for Bobby and the Winslow twins." Hayes says, "I have some ideas for the Winslow twins and Bobby. Celery sticks filled with peanut butter, fish and fried eggs with mayonnaise, or pimento cheese and peanut butter on pumpernickel bread, or maybe broccoli and peanut butter on a cracker." Then Sunny shouts, "Now it's time for the famous looper shake. 2 bananas, 4 chunks of pineapple, 4 chunks of mango, and 4 strawberries. Mix it all together in a blender. Then add a handful of ice and blend for 3 minutes. Add a little honey, blend another 3 minutes, and you have looper shakes." In the meantime, Hayes goes to the back of the class to tell Veronica to cough up the rest of the Dixie cups she was hiding so they could pour the looper shakes and then toast vegetables, fruits, and peanut butter. As Hayes is passing out the cups, Tommy ran to the front of the room and said, "I can make my own." "What is this blue button on the blender?" Sunny screamed, "No, don't touch it!" But it was too late. He hit the button. The room started to swirl real fast. Smoke filled the blender, and then there was the sound of harps playing in the distance. The whole room was spinning. The next thing you know, there was this loud sound of racing engines roaring in the background. When the smoke cleared, the whole class was sitting in the stands in Spain at a Formula One race. Miss Riddlesack is asking if everyone is here. They do a count, and everyone was in the stands except for Bobby. "Where is Bobby?" Then the race announcer says, "And in second place is Bobby G. He has one last lap to catch our leader, Mario." "There he is," the class shouts. "He's in a Ferrari 3000 GT electric car, decked out in blue and white checkered racing gear." The announcer says, "This is the toughest part of the course, the winding Swiss Alps. The key is to maintain speed coming out of the mountains while downshifting. Last year's winner Mario is the master at this." The class shouts, the class starts to chant, "Bobby, Bobby, Bobby." The other 11,000 spectators are cheering for Mario. The announcer says, "And now the hairpin turns require you to reduce speed. But wait, Bobby G is hitting the gas. He's flying through the turns and passing Mario. He refuses to use his brakes. It's like he has been practicing this run for a long time." "He sure has been," across Mike W's back in food science class. And with one final gear shift and roar of the engine, he wins the race. At which time, we hear Karen scream, "We have got to get back home." Startled, Sunny looked down and saw the blender was still clutched in her arms. She closed her eyes, held the blue button down, and hoped for the best. The white smoke reappears. The racetrack starts to spin, and you can hear the sound of harps. The wind kicked up a gentle breeze, and there we all were, back in Miss Riddlesack's room, sitting quietly, staring at each other, wondering, Did that just really happen? The looper shakes were still on everyone's desk. And then we all looked at Bobby, and he was sitting there in the same blue and white racing outfit he had on in the race. And that's when Miss Reynolds-Fat held up her Dixie cup filled with the looper shake and said, "A toast to peanut butter." And everyone shouted, "To peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter." And that's the end of our first episode of Sunny's Blue Button Blender. To be continued. Hope you enjoyed Sunny's Blue Button Blender. This is Lorraine, host of the Cool Channel's Read to Me program, wishing you all pleasant dreams.